I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. This week, we're looking at the legacy of the transatlantic slave trade. 2019 marks 400 years since the arrival of the first enslaved Africans in the American colonies. It's an important milestone that changed the world, and it's seen as the original sin of the United States. We still don't know a lot about those first enslaved people, and over the centuries, it's not been African Americans who've been the gatekeepers of their own history. In today's story, The World's Roopa Shenoy looks at that and at the forgotten people.
There he is.
I'm at the Valentine Gallery in Richmond with activist Free Agumfemi. She's showing me a portrait that'll be unveiled later this year.
So this is Gabriel.
Gabriel, she tells me, was an enslaved man who tried to hold the governor of Virginia hostage in 1800 to bargain for freedom for slaves. No one knows what he looked like. Agumfemi commissioned the painting.
What's so interesting about this is that we used, you know, a pattern for his visage based on his descendants.
That's the closest they can get without any contemporary description of him. The only reason we know about Gabriel is because he broke the law. In official history, Gabriel's rebellion failed. Someone told, his conspirators were discovered, and they were hanged. In Agumfemi's version of history, Gabriel is a hero, one of many from the time who've gone mostly unremembered.
Those are the narratives that were deliberately submerged. Those are the stories nobody wanted to tell.
Those stories begin in the 1600s with the arrival of the first enslaved Africans in the English colonies. White Virginians used African slavery to rapidly expand the tobacco industry. That quickly made Virginia the most powerful colony in the New World. Enslaved people like Gabriel fought back, and white Virginians created a system of laws to oppress them, a system that other colonies, then states, used as a model.
Hi. Karen Sherry. It's nice to meet you.
Really nice to meet you.
Karen Sherry is a curator putting together a special exhibit on the history of slavery to mark the arrival of the first enslaved Africans. She started the job in 2017, just weeks after Charlottesville, an hour and a half away.
Those events have really crystallize for me how much race is still an issue in American society.
Sherry works for the Virginia Museum of History and Culture, the modern version of the Virginia Historical Society, the oldest of its kind in the country.
Let me put it on top of the folder where.
She shows me this pristine sheet of paper, a letter to the governor, dated 1690.
May it please your excellency, whereas there was a rumor of an evil and desperate design contrived by the Negroes.
It's an affidavit by five slave owners complaining about rebellious Africans. Sherry can tell they were worried, almost paranoid. She can only imagine what the enslaved Africans were feeling.
We very rarely find any kind of artifactual item related to black people. What we have are documents that were written by white people, generally people in power.
The job of filling in the blanks has been left to historians and curators, professions where African Americans are still underrepresented.
I have to acknowledge, as a representative of this institution, historically, we haven't always been very inclusive in the kinds of stories we tell about American history. But that's something that's changing, not just at our institution, but at many institutions.
The 1619 anniversary is proving something of a catalyst. For the first time in 400 years, Virginia's also marking the arrival of the first enslaved Africans, along with other significant events of 1619, including the arrival of the first women in the colonies and the establishment of the first government. It's part of a year-long tourism push called American Evolution. Kathy Spangler's the director.
If you can imagine that we would be having the seeds of democracy at the same time that the seeds of slavery were being forged.
We meet in the Library of Virginia, where you're not really supposed to talk, so she's whispering.
Frommers has put Virginia on its top places to go in 2019 because of this commemoration. Forbes has put Williamsburg on its top places to visit in 2019 because of this commemoration.
Spangler insists there were many committees and roundtables to make sure diverse voices were represented in the planning for American Evolution events. And Spangler talked to the experts.
We looked to the best institutions in Virginia. So we went to those who are the keepers of this history.
But this anniversary is raising the question, who are the keepers of this history? Spengler didn't talk to Free Egumfemi, for example. For her part, Egumfemi didn't try to be part of American evolution either. She didn't attend any American evolution meetings.
One of the things that I had to find out the hard way is that when you position yourself as someone who's trying to push against what they do, and you get yourself drained and you have nothing to show for it, and you're going to all their meetings to make sure that there's a voice that's speaking up and all of that, you're not in there doing your own work. And no one's paying you to come there. And everybody up in there is getting paid, but you.
Egumfemi tells me about studying violin at Juilliard, raising three daughters as a single mom, and winning awards as a vegan chef. Then the Richmond mayor announced plans to build a baseball stadium on a site called the African Burial Ground. Egumfemi was among the protesters who successfully beat that plan back. She takes me there. It's a grassy field just east of downtown, sitting under railroad tracks and Interstate 95. It used to be a parking lot.
This area was called Shaco Bottom.
In the decades before the Civil War, this was the second busiest slave trading site in the country.
They would come on ships right at the edge of the water. Then they would march them in the middle of the night because the wealthy Richmonders did not want to see people that have just come from a three-month journey from Africa, barefoot. The smell was unbearable.
Solomon Northrop, the enslaved man whose life was portrayed in the movie 12 Years a Slave, was reportedly held here. And Egumfemi tells me this is also where Gabriel was hanged. But there's no signage that says that.
People are not telling these stories, which is why there's no such thing as scholarly neutrality. It's not about, oh, here's history for history's sake. We can get anybody to tell the story.
Egumfemi thinks Virginia's official commemoration of 1619 was a missed opportunity to include people such as herself. Without a connection to the African-American experience today, she says, it almost seems like America's gotten over its involvement in the slave trade, and racism isn't an issue anymore.
We can't be separated from it. We won't be separated from it. And if they wish to separate, there's going to be two different tales.
A black version of history and a white one. But back in the car, Egumfemi says neither will be the full story, because Africans have always had white allies. And, she says, it will take many more alliances to repair the last 400 years of history. For The World, Rupa Shenoy, Richmond.
You can see the new portrait of Gabriel, the enslaved African who tried to hold the governor of Virginia hostage. Head over to theworld.org. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. We're back with you tomorrow.